Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Devon Insight's 54th Speaker Seminar. I'm your host, Graham Flynn, the Chief Executive Officer of Devon Insight. Today's subject is good nutrition and eye health. The philosopher Hippocrates once said, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." Good nutrition is very important for both general health and eye health. It helps the body grow, repair wear and tear, protect against infection, and function properly. Our guest speaker is Marilyn Minter Newson, a nutritional therapist and also a new member of the Devon Insight Board of Trustees. So good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning, Graham.
I'm also joined by Tessa Barrett, who's our Head of Services. Good morning, Tessa.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, now I think we should start with some background. What led you to becoming a nutritional therapist?
Very good question. As a child, I was very poorly. I was never really in hospital, but I was a very unwell child, sadly, because my mother was unable to feed me. So, and in those days, there was no bottle formula, and I was given highly unsuitable milks, which actually made me quite poorly. Mm-hmm. This went on all through my teenage years. And then in adult life, still not very well, managed to struggle through university, fortunately. Then I started thinking to myself, what is making me poorly? And a friend of mine had just started on a homeopathy course, and that was looking at all sorts of things that affect people's health, including food. Mm. And I suddenly had a light bulb moment, and I thought, what if I completely changed my diet? Would it make a difference? And it was extraordinary because the things that had dogged me for about 25 years suddenly went. And I became so fascinated by the power and the effect that this had on me that I thought, I must study this. And that's what I did. And here I am.
Brilliant. So for those who do not know, what is the role of a nutritional therapist?
Okay, so a nutritional therapist chats with the person who's come to see them, often because they haven't got very far with general medical practice. And a lot of my clients have digestive issues. And for me, the basis of all good health starts in the gut.
Yeah.
So we have to look at, I take a history of their lifestyle, their family history, where did they come from? That's really important. And I'll tell you a story there because a lady came to see me some years ago who was about 50 years of age. She'd been born on an Indian reservation in America, came to this country, and she completely changed her diet because she read in the magazines that it's so good to become a vegetarian. Mm. And all of a sudden, her health went downhill dramatically. And after about 5 years, she decided to come and talk to me. And I said to her, well, you know, what was your background? What did you eat when you were a child? Well, we had a lot of meat, a lot of fish, a lot of healthy fats, and not much vegetable. I said, well, there you are then. You've got to go back to eating what's really in your DNA.
Yeah.
Oh, fine, she said. And off she went. 3 weeks later, she rang me and she said, I can't thank you enough. I'm already seeing the benefit. Mm. And that, to me, was such a dramatic indication of how we need to think carefully about where we came from.
Mm. This takes me back to my introduction where I said, do you agree with the philosopher Hippocrates when he said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food?
Absolutely. And Hippocrates, as I'm sure you know, was born in 460 BC. And in those days, of course, there was no pharmaceutical, no Boots the chemist down the road. And so human beings had to survive on what they could eat and forage for in the hedgerows, herbs, etc. And it's absolutely what I believe in, that we should go back to natural forms of eating, and we really don't need these other interventions unless we really get seriously ill. I mean, if I got knocked down in the street, I would be overjoyed to be wheeled into the medical department of the hospital. But apart from that, I would hope to be able to support myself through healthy eating, healthy living, and good food.
Okay, so we're a sight loss charity, so we're going to obviously talk about general health, but also with a slant towards sight loss. So the most common form of sight loss in this country is macular degeneration. Obviously, that's Tess's background, so Tess used to work with the Macular Society, very knowledgeable lady. The causes of macular disease are not fully understood. However, scientists believe that a combination of factors are responsible, including genetics, age, diet, smoking, and sunlight. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I would agree with all of that, but I would add actually computer screens, TVs, tablets and phones, because they are hugely damaging to sight. The genetic thing is interesting. Certainly people do get AMD as a history through their family, and I know somebody who that happened to. But I personally believe that you have an on-off switch with genetics, and you have a pathway, either left or right, and sometimes because of the way you were brought up as a family, then you carried on with the same sort of food, diet, lifestyle, etc., that you grew up with, and then that will send you down that path. Whereas if you choose another path, completely different, you may perhaps avoid what is potentially in your genetic background.
That's really interesting. So I'm going to share something now, very personal. So my brother was an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
and his alcohol misuse caused a switch with his genetics, and I've forgotten the name of the syndrome that he ended up with, but it made him blind.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's dead now, but it's interesting, that thing where there is this mechanism within the body that your lifestyle choices can create really bad things.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're born, say, for example, with cystic fibrosis, then that's something that is not a degenerative condition in itself, because unfortunately, sadly, you were born with that.
Mm.
But other things, and particularly with AMD, it is a degenerative disease. So therefore, by nature of the illness, it's something that potentially could get worse. But hopefully, we can either slow it down. I haven't yet discovered anything that completely corrects it, but I think we can slow it down, definitely.
Yeah. Let's talk about age a minute. We talk about most sight loss in this country actually being acquired as we get older. Say, glaucoma, macular disease, all of these things.
Cataracts,
that's where the word I was after, pointing at my eyes here. Cataract, all those sorts of things. We know that sunlight can cause damage, and we encourage people to wear sunglasses, and with our clients who have a diagnosed sight condition, we talk about various filters which can cut out very damaging spectrums of light. One of the things that we're strong advocates here of is getting people with young children to get their children to wear sunglasses as well. You'll see adults walking down the street with their sunglasses, but actually kids are not protecting their eyes as well. Okay, let's talk about our late friend Ray Doughty. So Ray, we lost Ray last year, towards the end of last year. He was a client of ours. He then became a very keen advocate of medical research and trials. And he introduced me to the Retina Clinic in London. And as a result of his enthusiasm and the way he presented himself, he eventually became a trustee.
Yes.
Now, you actually went to London to the Retina Clinic with Ray.
I did.
Could you tell us a bit about that experience?
Yes, that was absolutely fascinating. I was a little hesitant because in my experience, I found that some of the medical profession are not very on board with what we can do with nutrition and certainly professional supplements.
Mm.
And I went there thinking to myself, I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut here. But I was absolutely delighted to have a very in-depth conversation with the clinician that Ray went to see, who actually agreed with me that diet is hugely beneficial and targeted supplements are also very beneficial. And he actually made the point that in order to get what you would get from a therapeutic dose, you would have to eat a whole box of broccoli every day.
Well,
that's not feasible, is it?
No.
So I was really, really pleased to hear him say that he felt that people like myself could actually help people with this particular condition.
So Paolo Stanger has become a good friend of our charity. He came and spoke at our conference last year, and we're in discussions about him joining us again this year at our conference. So let's look at supplements. When it comes to supplements, you say quality and dose are key.
Yes, absolutely.
Please elaborate on that.
The supplement industry has become absolutely enormous. It's a great money spinner for some companies, But there are companies out there, the ones that I support, there are three in particular, who have extremely good manufacturing processes. They are very up to date with their scientific research. They're constantly reviewing the content in their supplements. And over my career, I have seen people benefit hugely from good supplements. Now, I would say to anybody thinking about introducing supplements to their diet to take some professional advice, mm-hmm. because there are some things that don't mix with the medication that they're taking. And also, it's a minefield trying to choose the right thing that's going to benefit you, not cost you an absolute fortune. Because some of them, they've got cheap ingredients, and just because something says it's got vitamin A on the label doesn't mean to say that the way they've produced it, processed it, packaged it, etc., is going to mean that you are going to get the benefit of what you believe is vitamin A. Mm. Because a lot of it goes straight down the pan, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned that you've got three preferred suppliers.
I have, yes.
Are you able to share those?
Indeed, yes.
Go on.
Yes. Nutri Advanced.
Right.
Cytoplan, spelled Cytoplan.
Yeah.
And BioCare.
Okay.
And if you were looking for a particular supplement to support eyesight, I like Nutri Advanced. And I'll tell you why, because some years ago, I noticed myself, my night vision was beginning to get a bit dodgy, particularly with driving. And so I thought, right, this is time to take a nutritional eye supplement. And I chose Vision Plus from Nutri. And within, I should say, a matter of a few weeks, my night vision improved.
Oh.
But everybody who takes supplements is going to get the same result, because it depends on how your body absorbs it, your digestive system, etc. But that was just my own personal experience, and I have recommended that supplement to lots of other people who have felt that they have benefited from it.
Oh, okay.
But supplements always have to support the diet. When someone comes to me for advice, we look at the diet first, and then try and make supplements sometimes in the short term. But with vision loss, I would say once one's got a bit older and thinking that vision is going slightly, that would be something to really concentrate on and take on a regular basis.
So we're not going to go down the route of the old science fiction films of the 60s and 70s where our diet is going to be replaced by Smarties.
No.
Thank God for that. Okay, so let's talk a bit about diet. I've got a question here. So we did ask on a couple of our chit-chat calls for some questions, and a few people have rung the office. So here's a question I got from one of our clients. I don't like vegetables. How can I supplement my diet? What should I do? I don't like veg.
Well, this is the challenge when someone comes to see me, because it's no good me saying, well, you've got to eat vegetables, because I know that person's going to go away and they're not going to eat the vegetables. They might try, but I know for a fact they're probably not going to. So the first thing I would suggest is perhaps trying to juice, because that's a drink.
Yeah.
And that's a very good way of, if you get a good quality juice, so which doesn't extract the fibre, so you've got the whole benefit of the vegetable or fruit, that's a good way. It's quite pleasant. And then after that, I'm afraid it will come down to supplements, really. There is no other way. If they are going to absolutely refuse to eat vegetables, then it's got to be down the supplement route, really.
But it's interesting, you talked earlier about the health of your gut.
Mm. Yes.
If you're talking about roughage,
absolutely,
and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
So really, it's a dangerous thing not to eat vegetables, isn't it?
I mean, I will go through all that with the client and sort of try and explain the message I'm trying to get over and how important it is.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, some people just not going to, and that's, and then you've got to work with whatever the client presents you with.
Okay, so there's an awful lot of research now about a healthy gut and the healthy bacteria. Mm. How do we maintain a healthy gut then?
You have to give the gut the right roughage, and that's not eating bran flakes, by the way.
No.
There's different types of fibre. There's soluble fibre and insoluble fibre, which you get from different types of fruits and vegetables. People think that the healthy diet could have a lot of fruit. I actually disagree with that, because the sugar in fruit is actually feeding the bad bacteria in the gut.
Okay.
Fruit offers a great deal in the form of the antioxidants, which we need, but really you're looking to get the best source from vegetables,
mm-hmm.
if you can.
Okay.
So Marilyn, one of the things that came up on the call is that we know that a lot of our clients buy in their food that's ready made because some of them struggle to cook independently.
Yeah.
Are there any perils involved in processed foods?
Yes.
Ah, what are they?
Hundreds.
Ah, okay.
Yes, I'm sorry, ultra-processed food. There have been some studies in America and Australia. And I have to say, America and Australia are leaps ahead of us in terms of information and good quality studies. But anyway, so 24% of the people that were followed over a 15-year period who were on a very high ultra-processed diet, and then the other study was 39% of the people, had high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, and all the cardiovascular things, and angina. That, to me, that's just the surface of it. Because ultra-processed food, to me, is dead food. It has calories in it, which will probably stop you from dying of starvation, but it's not going to give you... It's loaded with preservatives, which are chemicals. And as a naturopath, I'm dead against chemicals. We can't avoid them, but if we can try and reduce them in our diet as much as possible. To me, it's just dead food. And people put it in the microwave, which is even worse. Microwaves just kill everything. They heat it up. You can eat it. Might taste okay. But it's got nothing in it, nothing sustainable in it. And people will just, their health will just go downhill. If you look at this country, we are not a healthy country. If you go and stand outside a pharmacy and look and see what people are coming out with, carry a bag full of drugs.
My partner works in a pharmacy and is absolutely shocked at the amount of medication that teenagers are on.
Yes.
And as you say, there are people who are going in and it's not unusual for people to come in and have a weekly medication that takes two carrier bags.
Exactly.
That can't be good for you.
Yeah.
I'll share a story with you. I found some old photographs the other day and they were little black and white photos I took on my first ever school trip in the 70s. And I was looking at the guys in the photo and the girls. And I remember that there was a boy in the class who we called Fatty.
Yeah.
He was not fat. By today's standards, he was just a large lad.
Yeah.
But I look at kids, and the general population, and there are some people who are unhealthily fat.
Absolutely.
And I think it was last year that was the first year that scientists have said that the life expectancy of people in this country is now reducing.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I think diet has got to be a major factor in that.
But isn't it interesting that we've had the low fat, low sugar for donkey's years, and what's happened to people? They've just got enormous.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, once you take natural sugar out of a food and replace it with something that tastes sweet, that's a chemical.
Yeah.
The body doesn't like it. It's very destructive to the healthy bacteria in the gut.
Do our bodies get more sensitive to stuff as we get older, do you think?
Yes, I think so. Not quite sure why that is, to be perfectly honest with you, but certainly people say to me, oh, well, I used to be able to eat so-and-so, but I can't now. It's probably because as we get older, our digestive system becomes less efficient.
Mm-hmm.
After the age of 40, we start producing less digestive enzymes. So I suspect what is happening is that actually we're not really digesting and processing the food in the same way that we used to.
Okay. So diabetes is on the rise.
Yes.
And as we know, one of the side effects of diabetes is
retinopathy.
Yeah. So, we really need to wake up as a society to what's happening.
And actually, I think you've just reminded me, I think if you ask me what is the most damaging thing in food today, it's sugar and the sugar replacements. And the other thing to say about that is seed oils. People think that all these vegetable oils that they're using are healthy. They are not. Seed oils are responsible now for more heart attacks than sugar. We used to think sugar was the demon, but no. So we should be eating the healthy fats which come from the animal foods and cold olive oil, extra virgin, cold-pressed olive oil that you should eat. And all the others avoid.
I was going to ask you about that because I got home last night and my partner said to me, we're going to start having a little glass of olive oil, extra virgin olive oil every day. Because I used to have those capsules of fish oil.
Yes.
that used to repeat on me something rotten, and it's not a nice thing to be in a meeting and belch and something for sure. Absolutely vile. Mm. So what are your views about that extra virgin olive oil?
It's absolutely brilliant, as long as you're getting it from a very good source, not the cheap supermarket ones. Definitely have a little teaspoonful of it like that. But that's not going to replace the omega-3 fatty acids because it's not omega-3. Unfortunately, the best source of omega-3 is from fish. There are vegetable sources, but the body has to convert that. And if you don't have the necessary enzymes, etc., to make the conversion, you won't convert it.
Okay. Irritable bowel.
Yes.
A grumbling bowel.
Yes. Yes.
Any thoughts on that?
Yes.
Lots. Go on. Talk to me about irritable bowel.
Irritable bowel is usually down to what you're putting in your mouth, unfortunately. We're all very different. I couldn't sit here and design a diet that would suit all three of us in this room.
Mm.
I could tell you what not to eat, you know, all the processed foods and all that sort of thing. But I couldn't give you a diet to suit you, me and Tess individually without going into detail more. Mm. But the gut is basically extremely sensitive to whatever is going through. There are all sorts of bacterial situations that can slow things down, cause inflammation. Inflammation, in my book, is one of the most important words because it's behind every disease condition. There is a form of inflammation. And what's causing the inflammation? Well, something that's going inside. So when people come with irritable bowel, then first thing I look at is how often is the bowel clearing itself? Because if it's backed up, then the potential for fermentation and irritation is very strong. So we have to try and move things along. I'm a great believer in colonic hydrotherapy. Some people will go, oh dear me, I couldn't bear that. But actually, clearing out all that stuff and getting everything moving smoothly again is very important because the potential for toxicity in the bowel is huge. In fact, I've forgotten who it is now, it might have been Hippocrates, said death begins in the bowel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We're constantly told that brightly coloured foods are good for us. What is it that these foods contain that makes the difference?
Yes. Well, broadly speaking, it's something called an antioxidant. And an antioxidant is something which counteracts the damage to the cells from free radicals, which are a natural part of our metabolism and our energy production. So all the brightly coloured foods are full of antioxidants, and that's what we need, because it's a constant battle.
Will eating the right food stabilise my sight?
It will certainly go a long way to helping it. I couldn't categorically say that it will, because that would be very unfair of me to say that. But as a nutritionist, I firmly believe that what we eat can be so damaging or supportive, and hopefully with the right advice it can be supportive. Food, you know, you wouldn't put petrol in a diesel car, would you? That's very simple. And,
I did one.
You know, yes, I've done
it. Very expensive.
It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work.
Oh, dear.
No, so, oh, dear. It's just so important, really. And the antioxidants, this is where the ultra-processed food falls down so badly, you see. They don't have the nice, brightly coloured food. You might put a spice in there, turmeric, perhaps. Unlikely, but possible. But you just haven't got the natural antioxidant protection that you get from fresh food. And if you can grow it yourself, well, it's wonderful. The taste is so different. It's so different. And it's so sad because most people who cannot grow or do not want to grow don't understand the difference in taste and flavour to something that's come straight out of the ground. Mm-hmm. There's just no comparison.
Can we touch just a little bit on lifestyle again? So we take a very holistic approach to supporting people. And one of the strongest messages we give to people is about smoking cessation and limiting alcohol intake.
Absolutely.
What are your views on those?
Definitely. Well, I'm sure I don't really need to say how damaging smoking is.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm not in favour of vaping. There's a lot of studies now coming out to say that vaping is actually worse than smoking.
Mm.
And certainly alcohol It destroys so many of the vitamins, virtually all the B vitamins, of which there are 8, can be destroyed by alcohol. Alcohol, medicinal drugs, recreational drugs can all be very, very badly bad for B vitamins. And B vitamins drive the nervous system. It's so important. And they're soluble, you see.
Yeah.
A, D, E and K are stored. All the other vitamins that we need for a healthy life are soluble, so we need a constant input. Otherwise, we're going to be short and deficient.
Mm. Okay. Actually, this is one you raised with me. Do you want to ask about this?
Yes. So, at a former charity that I worked, we had a lady who did some one-pot cooking for people with sight loss. And one of the things that she said was that if we only knew the medicinal properties in tomato puree, we would all add a dessert spoon to whatever we were cooking. Is there any evidence that you've heard of that supports that?
Yes and no. Tomatoes are a fabulous addition to the diet for those people whom it's suitable for. If you are blood group O, for example, or if you are someone who is prone to arthritis, they have very, very powerful lectins, which will be very, very bad for people with arthritis. So it's, again, a question of designing the diet for the individual. On the face of it, yes, tomato is a great ingredient as long as it doesn't upset you.
There you go. But that does explain a lot, Marilyn. You know, being personally, I suffer with osteoarthritis.
Right.
And since my last conversation with you, I have cut out tomatoes considerably from my diet.
Yes.
And only have them occasionally. And I have to say that the majority of my joints feel a lot better for that.
Oh, fantastic.
So well, thank you.
Well, thank you for that. That's great. It's lovely when someone has taken some advice and they come back to you and they say, oh, actually, it's really done me the world of good, because you think, yes.
Yes, it's absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask you about stress?
Oh, yes.
Stress seems to just go hand in hand with modern living.
It does.
And I think we live in a very much more stressful world. I think the demands on workers are very high. I think that was compounded by everything to do with COVID.
Absolutely.
And I just wondered what your views were on stress.
Yes, well, you're absolutely right, because stress changes the body chemistry. There's no doubt about that. You produce cortisol and all sorts of other hormones in response to stress. So I think we have to acknowledge, as you've just said, that modern life is stressful, unless we want to go and be a hermit and live in a cave somewhere and just say goodbye to the world. I think, unfortunately, we're all going to be affected by stress. And the last few years since the COVID crisis, my stress levels have gone up. They're still up a little bit. So I think what we have to do is we have to acknowledge that it's actually very damaging, and we have to give ourselves some time out. Find something that you like doing. For me, it's gardening or going out. Yesterday I had the most wonderful walk in some parkland with all the beautiful flowers coming out, the trees, the birds. I saw a hare, a deer, some squirrels, umpteen little birds. And I came back to Barnstable, which I'm not very keen on, and I felt, oh, that was good. That was my therapy. So we have to give ourselves time to go and do something. Read a book. Well, it doesn't matter what it is, but we have to say, this is my time to calm down, be quiet, and give the body a rest.
Mm.
Because otherwise, your body is on high alert all the time. Adrenaline, all the stress hormones are coming in. And we're not, as human beings, we're not meant to be like that all of the time. The stress response originally was to help us run away from the wild animal.
Mm.
But hopefully we haven't got too many of those just now. So it's modern life that we have to try and adjust to give ourselves time. And as a mum, it's very difficult. And I'm sorry to all you guys out there, because I'm sure you're great with your kids. But mums in particular, in my experience, don't allow themselves the time. Oh, I've got to get the kids off to school. I've got to do the ironing. I've got to do this, that, and the other. All to do with the family. And then, oh, too tired now. I can't go and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just it's modern life, unfortunately.
So bringing this round to our clients who, due to the sight loss, might not feel that confident about going out and about, it sort of reinforces the importance of people engaging with the sensory team, mobility, getting out and about. And that brings me to the next question, which is about sunlight and vitamin D. Now, it's many years since I did my A-level biology, but we know that sunlight plays an important part in the assimilation. I can't remember the exact words,
but
the assimilation.
Yeah, converts it in the skin. Yeah.
Let's talk about sunlight and health, and then we talk about the damage that sunlight can also cause.
Yes.
So we'll do it as two parts.
Yes, okay. Well, sunlight is really, really important for our overall health, because anything that the body can produce naturally for itself is going to be more beneficial than anything that you're going to put in through via a supplement or something like that. So I think in the Northern Hemisphere, we're quite short of sun. So if we can go outside and expose as much skin as we can, then it's going to be very beneficial. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying about protecting your eyes. So wear a hat, some good quality glasses, but don't be afraid to go outside because it's so beneficial for us.
So protect your eyes,
yes,
but get your skin out
definitely.
In the sun.
Can I ask, Marilyn, has that got to be direct sunlight, or is it just the fact that you are outside and it's in the air?
From the point of view of converting in your skin, I believe I'm right in saying it's got to be direct sunlight. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's interesting. In a moment, we're going to open up the call for questions. So hopefully Jenny is listening in and she'll start unmuting everybody. Before we open up to questions, I just wanted, right at the beginning, I mentioned that you've just joined our Board of Trustees.
Yes.
And that was following an introduction by Ray, of all people.
That's right.
And what is it that you think you can bring to the Devon Insight team?
Ray, bless him, was very keen on the fact that I might join you to have female input for one thing.
Yeah.
Because I think at the time, representative for male.
Yeah. I can hear you laughing, Paula. Yeah.
But beyond that, I was friends with Ray for many years, and I think he got thoroughly fed up with me banging on about the importance of diet and food, etc.
Yeah.
And obviously I tried to help him with macular degeneration. So I think he felt that I did have some knowledge that might perhaps be beneficial for your clients, and that's what I would hope to bring, my experience and my knowledge of working with our experience with loss.
Well, thank you. You're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for the invitation. I think it was our first meeting that I invited you to come and do a talk.
Yes.
Open up this to questions. So if you could introduce yourself, ask a question. Do we have a question out there?
Yes, please. I'd like to ask a question. My name is Jo.
Hello, Jo.
Hello. Marilyn, thank you. That was very interesting. I just wonder if you've got any comments, perhaps. I've been a visually impaired carer for quite some time. And so it can be difficult to get the right nutrition inside, probably, because you're too busy thinking of your partner and what they need. You see things like these little packs of herbs, etc., in a supermarket. Are things like that worth adding to the food that you have, do you feel?
Absolutely. Herbs are a most wonderful source of antioxidants, and even the dry ones are good. So anything like that that you can add to the diet, not only is it giving you some flavour, it's also giving you a lot of health benefits. So yes, go ahead. It'd be great to hear.
Right. Well, thank you. Would you be good enough to explain antioxidants again? Because I still haven't got my head around that one.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid I was bottom of the class in chemistry, but I'll do my best. antioxidants are chemicals in food, really, which are highly beneficial. And when energy is produced, it has a bit like an exhaust system in a car. The free radicals, which are electrons, which are floating around looking for a partner, and the antioxidants combine with these electrons, make them safe so that they don't damage the cell. really all you have to think about is that if you're choosing brightly coloured fruits and vegetables, there are your antioxidants and the herbs that we're just talking about.
Oh, right. All right. Oh, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Do we have another caller?
It's Mandy here in the office. Could I ask a call, please, if you don't mind? Ask a question, sorry.
Yes, go on.
So I'd like to ask about lutein, the supplement lutein. I've heard a lot about this, but I just wondered, is it a good supplement to take? And there's lots of lutein out there, but it's, how much should you take? Because some doses are, say, 10 milligrams, some say 20 milligrams. What is the optimum dose to actually take?
Well, first of all, when you're choosing a supplement, I would always recommend that you choose one that is balanced with other necessary ingredients. I mentioned earlier that I particularly like NutriAdvanced eye supplement, and they actually have 16 milligrams of lutein in their capsule. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. Do we have another question, please?
Yes, hello, it's Dawn here.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello to everybody. I found it very, very interesting because I'm interested in food and nutrition anyway. I'm a 24/7 unpaid carer, and I have I'm partially sighted now, but I find that my stress is, you know, it goes through the roof. The stress level I'm under, and I'm deprived of sleep as well, being a carer. So I just wanted to say, you know, that my stress level is very high. What I do to help myself to keep well, one of the things I do, I have Manuka honey very regularly, and that helps to ward off infections and all sorts of things. And I find that if I do catch anything now, it's only very, very mild. So I think that's very beneficial, and I know you've got to be careful about what I'm saying, but I do very often take it instead of going on to your mentioning people taking too many drugs and things. I don't like to take antibiotics unless I absolutely have to, and I think the doctors prescribe too many of them these days. But the Manuka honey, I've tried and tested it over many years, and very often, if they do say take this antibiotics, I try Manuka honey first, and it usually works.
Well, I think that's fantastic and well done. Manuka honey is great. In fact, all forms of natural honey, and these days the supermarkets produce honey that's been mixed and heated, and good knows what they've done to it. So if you can get local honey, that's brilliant, but Manuka honey obviously is top of the list.
And yes, the other thing is I'm horrified about, obviously, the food that we're eating these days. It's got very low nutritional. I mean, I've been listening to one of the doctors on the television that keeps on talking about this sort of thing. I can't remember his name now, but he's very popular on television. He's a twin. I can't remember his name. But he always talks about the very low nutrition we've got in food these days, and we're eating a load of rubbish, basically. And then when we look back at our grandparents, they had much better food than we have. And I was very horrified recently on a morning program when they had a lady doing cooking. She was actually adding MGS to food, monosodium glutamate, and saying it was all right to eat. I was horrified.
Yep, you're quite right.
Absolutely horrified.
Marilyn, can I ask you about sleep?
Yes.
Soporifics? Is there what can we do to help with sleep? I know the other thing you mentioned about computer screens and smartphones,
yes.
So obviously not play with those before we go to bed.
No. Sleep is a habit. If you can find what relaxes you prior to going to sleep, then it's really important to try and get a habit. And it should start with children. My daughter's got a little one of 5 now, and she's been absolutely religious from the word go in his routine of his feeding and also going to bed. And he is the most brilliant sleeper. And I really do think that if you can have a routine, there are all sorts of things you can do. There's things like herbal teas that will relax you. Chamomile is good for some people. And generally try and wind down, because we were talking earlier about the stressful life. It's important that we try and wind down, because otherwise when we go to bed, the head's still buzzing, isn't it?
See, I have this thing where I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, most mornings, and it's, my mind is racing at 100 miles an hour.
There can be physical reasons for that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We'll talk about that later.
Actually, the one I can mention is it can be a magnesium deficiency if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Are we having a question, please?
Hello. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah.
Hello?
This is
Tina here. I would like to know if there is any benefit in eating blueberries. I absolutely love blueberries and eat a lot of them. And I was told one day that the benefits in blueberries are probably quite good for eye conditions. Is that true?
Absolutely. Blueberries and all the purple fruits are very high in the particular antioxidant that helps the eyes. So absolutely, blueberries are fantastic. Black currants is another one.
Thank you.
Beneficial. Well done.
Next question, please.
This is Les. Can I make a quick observation?
Go on, Les.
Good morning to everybody, and thank you very much for the address this morning. It's been absolutely interesting. What I wanted to say, my own position was that I endorse, obviously, information that comes in that's actually I've found over time has been valuable, in that I got to a point where I stopped going out shopping, and I now have, as is maybe known, I have an assisted living agency helping hands to go shopping. The point I'm making is that I think part of one of the things that starts to restrict people's diet and they don't give the attention to the input is the fact that sight loss can limit sometimes your ability to seek out new foods, new varieties and new systems. Being of my generation, a cabbage to me isn't just something that's boiled for 2 days until it goes grey and then it's just mashed up with potatoes. It actually is cooked and added with garlic and chili and different herbs and spices to give it a sort of a different taste, if you like, that you can get in takeaways or different restaurants. The point being is I used to use Wiltshire Farms, and I took the alarm call in relation to prepared foods, etc. And I started to pull away from that when I ended up going shopping again. And I think it's very, very important to keep yourself in circulation. Tomatoes. I started to notice I could pick up a pack of tomatoes, smelt absolutely lovely, took them home and washed them and realized that they were actually sprayed, and that the fact that they were they were produced in a water-based system where the plants are directly fed. Hydroponics, I believe, is the science of how they're produced, is essentially they're just water-based, so to make them more attractive, they get sprayed. And I think we have to be aware that if we surrender our shopping and our menus to other people, we can actually become very confined, when in actual fact, getting more involved in food can actually be quite exciting, and it can be a matter of exploring new tastes and new foods that are out there and new goods and ingredients. And I think I would highly recommend that if one can get out and go shopping and take that interest, please do, because there's foods and ingredients out there that can really make life interesting.
Well said, I thoroughly agree with you. And for those of us who can get out into the countryside, please visit the farm shops if you can, because you will have very fresh ingredients and the benefit of knowing where it's grown, how it's been grown and where it's come from. But if you can't, then obviously being careful with what you select from the supermarket is the best that we can do. But well done.
Sylvia here. I have a delivery of fruit and vegetables once a week from the market. I don't even have to go out to get them, which is difficult for me. But I eat about, I don't know, 15 pounds worth of fruit and veg every week.
Well done.
Is that in weight or money? Sorry, Sylvia.
Yes, it's money, but they are so good. And also, I'll say to Jim when I phone my order in, could you tell me if there's something extra you've got on the stalls this week? And he will go through anything new that's come in to season. So try and find some vegetable people that deliver. It's fantastic.
That's good advice. Thank you, Sylvia.
Okay.
Next question.
Hello, it's Dawn again.
Hi, Dawn.
Just to ask, you mentioned about olive oil, virgin olive oil being very good. I try and introduce this a lot, you know, I try and use this a lot in my food. Can you advise what a good one, you know, good, I know you've got to be careful of the cheapy ones, but I just wondered whether you could advise me of a good quality one or where to get it from, please?
I can't think of a brand on the top of my head because I go into my local market in South Moulton and there's a lovely lady there who sells all sorts of gorgeous olives, garlics, well, goodness me, hundreds of different lovely local things, and she sells olive oil in a black bottle and I buy that one. So I apologise, I can't give you the actual label for that one. If you went into a health food shop, if you have one nearby.
Yes, we've got one in Dawlish. Yes, it's quite near to me, yes.
Yeah. Then I think that they would be able to advise you and probably make a good recommendation for you.
So I was researching this last night, and what I didn't realise was that although somebody might say that it's extra virgin olive oil, some of the cheaper ones are actually mixed with other oils.
Yes.
That's what I was wondering, actually. And it smells, it doesn't quite smell and taste how olive oil should, and I think some rapeseed oil has been put into it or something.
So the advice that I was reading last night was that you read, it's difficult for our audience, but it was read or get somebody to read the ingredients in detail. Mm. So it's extra virgin olive oil,
cold pressed. Yes, unfortunately, we all need to be a bit of a detective when we're selecting our food choices now, because we can be conned by what it says on the label, and we need to look more closely into it. And just as Graham says, do your research. Ask someone to read the label for you, or get advice from your health food shop.
The other thing I wanted to quickly ask about genetically modified vegetables and fruits, what about that?
I'm a naturopath, so I'm afraid I don't like anything like that.
No, I don't think I don't either, yes, but it's difficult to sort of work out what's what for me.
Again, this is where one has to become a bit of a food detective. But if you just go back to basics, human beings, when they were first wandering around, ate meat, fish, eggs, vegetables in season, fruit in season, and herbs and things they could find from the hedgerow. And if we all went back to a very, very basic form of eating, I think we would all be a lot healthier and feel better.
Yes.
Could I ask, please, about the microwave again?
Yes.
So you said that you weren't very happy with the microwave. So do you feel, I mean, if you have veggies that you're cooking in a microwave, or not cooking, but maybe heating up, do you think they lose their goodness?
Yes, most certainly. There have been quite a few experiments done with this.
Right.
I certainly would. Well, I don't personally own one, but I wouldn't use it even for heating up. They are so destructive. They heat the food, they cook it, but they destroy the nutrients. There are lots of modern food cooking systems now, which I personally have a halogen oven because I live on my own. I have a big oven as well, but there's no point heating the large oven just for one person. So I prefer a halogen oven because it's just as quick and easy as the microwave. It sits on the countertop and it gives you healthy cooked food without the dangers of the microwave.
So is that, would you say that that was also, say, for mince or meat? If you wanted to heat up meat, do you think it also you'd lose the goodness?
Yes, because it's the actual system of heating the food that is damaging.
Ah.
It's the actual microwave technology that is destroying the nutrients in the food.
My gosh, because there are so many meals, you know, for microwaves that
Absolutely.
A lot of severely sighted and blind people go for. I've bought a microwave especially for in the future when my central vision has completely gone, in order to be able to think, oh, right, well, I can get so many meals and then put them in the microwave. But you've just really changed my ideas about that. You know, at the moment, I have lots of fresh vegetables that I cook every day. I would cook my veggies. But I was beginning to think, oh, well, I could rely on that, you know, for the future. But maybe not, you know.
No, I really am against the microwave. One of the new gadgets that's quite popular now is an air fryer. Now,
we've been talking about them.
Yes, I haven't done my research yet, because the only thing that concerns me with the air fryer is what is the non-stick coating in the container where you place your food, because I'm very against Teflon, and I apologise, I haven't done the research to find out what the coating is on the food basket where you cook your food. My daughter's got one, she says it's marvellous, but...
I've got one, it's marvellous. But what I do is that there are silicon inserts, so you can drop a silicon bowl
right.
into the air fryer, which makes it a lot easier to clean. So literally you're washing the silicon
right.
and the silicon's totally inert.
Right.
So
okay.
I'd also heard about Teflon as well.
Good. Well, thank you for that, Graham.
There we are. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I think we've got time. We could probably do another question. Let's do one more question.
Could I ask about what Marilyn thinks about kiwi fruit?
Yep, kiwi fruit's very high in vitamin C. So I'm an excellent addition to your diet, definitely.
Oh, because I have one a day and I do enjoy it. It's delicious, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're great.
Tess would like to know if it's okay to eat chocolate and drink red
she
wine.
Yes, she would. I want to ask a serious question about mushrooms.
All right, ask about mushrooms.
So, Marilyn, I suffer from chronic vitamin D deficiency.
Okay.
And I supplement my winter intake with 60,000 units a week.
Mm-hmm.
What value is there in mushroom soup? So where you've got the condensed mushrooms, so they tell you to eat mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Is my first question. And what would be the impact of me then taking the quantity of vitamin D that I do if I'm eating the soup?
Are you making the soup yourself?
Yes.
Excellent. Well done. And if you leave mushrooms on the windowsill in the sunlight, they will increase their vitamin D content. So mushrooms are very good. You'd have to eat an awful lot of them. So I would suggest that since you've identified a deficiency, I would keep up with the D3 plus K2.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well done. But certainly, definitely add the mushrooms to your diet.
Lovely. Thank you.
And on the subject of chocolate and red wine, a little bit of dark chocolate is very good, and a little bit of red wine, because it has a lot of resveratrol, which is extremely useful. Yes, a little bit is good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So, those of you who are voting members for the charity will get the opportunity to meet Marilyn at our conference later in the year, where you will be formally voted as a trustee. How
Thank
exciting.
You. Thank you.
So it would be good to meet people then. Marilyn, thank you for joining us today. I've really enjoyed that. That's been fun.
Thank you, and I've enjoyed it too. Not so frightening.
We try not to make it too intimidating. If somebody wants to contact you, they can ring us through the helpline and we can put you in touch.
Yes, please do. I'd be delighted to help anybody, but do please come through the office.
Great. Just a reminder that recordings of our Sight Loss Speaker events are available through our website. You just click on the events page and the recordings are there. Okay. Forthcoming events. We hold our chit-chat calls weekly on a Wednesday. These are your opportunity to air thoughts, concerns and ideas and to share your recent stories in a safe space. We also share news about Devon in Sight and its ongoing development. Our next sight loss speaker event is on Tuesday, the 9th of April, and it's an introduction to benefits. And this is an old friend of yours.
It is, Tess. Indeed, yes, Colin Daniels. So Colin Daniels has lived experience of sight loss that he developed as a young person, but he went on to work for Action for Blind People as one of their employment advisors, and really got to grips with benefits, how to apply for them, what to say and what not to say. So we're hoping that he'll be able to tell us all about all of the benefits, who is eligible for them and how to best go about applying for them.
Brilliant. And you're hosting that one.
And I am hosting that one.
Thank you. I've got a month off. Good. Okay. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Really enjoyed that today. Have a good day and we'll see you next month.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.